never grow, never grow in a land where we'll never grow, never troubles, trials, horrors, all our sorrow will end, and our voices will blend with the ones who go on before. Never
down at Jessup, Kentucky, a little place they call Goosland Bottom, 1973 in the spring. Amen. I was preaching for Brother Ralph Ward and staying with them in one end of their trailer right beside the church, the Goosland Bottom Pentecostal Church. And I woke up one morning with this song. Amen. Just dropped right out of heaven and I wrote it down. Reached over beside the bed and got a piece of paper and wrote it down on a piece of scrap paper. It says, I took one look at a place called Calvary. That's what everybody needs in America today. That's what everybody needs across this land. That's what my family needed before I found God. Amen. That's what I needed. Praise God. I took one look at a place called Calvary. Just one look made the difference in me. and forever I'm free. I said I'd live my life of ease with its pleasures as I please. I would not worry what the future had for me. They made me look toward Calvary, where they said he hanged for me. I took one look and forever I'm free. I took one look at a place called Calvary. Since I gazed upon that scene, I took one look and forever I'm free. I didn't know I was so wrong, so I said I'd get along without religion that demands so much of me. But then I saw his bloody brow, his back, his hands, his feet and how, his side flowed crimson, and they said it was for me. I took one look at a place called Calvary. In me, oh, I'll never, never be the same. Since for me he stood the shame, I took one look and forever I'm free. Oh, raise your hands and praise him. What good will a look do? Well, ask the children of Israel. One more time they'd sinned so grossly against God that serpents were in the camp dealing out death. Agonies of death could be heard everywhere. Screams of new people bitten by those venomous beasts that came as a wrath of God. Alone in his tent, Moses cried out to God. And God said, make you a brazen serpent, Moses, and put it on a pole, and lift it up in the camp, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall look upon it shall live. Hallelujah. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In another place he said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We're lifting him up this morning. Come on. His altar is wide open. I took one look at a place called Calvary. Just one look made a difference in me. Oh, I'll never, never be the same. Since I gazed upon that scene, I took one said I'd live my life of ease, with its pleasures as I pleased. I was not worried what the future had for me. They made me look toward Calvary, where they said he hanged for me. I took one look, Lord, it changed it all for me. When you look to him, you gotta look away from sin. When you look to him, you see how bad sin is, cause you see what he suffered because of it. Ah, yes, when you look to him, no matter how bad a shape you're in, you say, there's hope. If you can believe God raised Jesus from the dead, you can believe this morning he'd resurrect your old backslidden, sin-blighted, darkened soul and bring you out and give you a brand new day. Praise God. Come on, let's look to Calvary. Praise God. I took one look at a place called Calvary. Amen. Something ringing just a little bit. Back something off. Amen. Amen. And Moses, and as Moses, John chapter 3, verse 14. Incidentally, this is Jesus' words to Nicodemus. One of the greatest messages Jesus ever preached, he preached it to one man. Just in case you don't think you're important this morning. Amen. He's got a message just for you. Right. Amen. This message in the third chapter of John was preached to one man who slipped in at night. He snuck in. Amen. And Jesus is giving him a night appeal. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And among all other things, he said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. John chapter 12, same book, verse 32. Amen. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? They knew what he meant. They had saw those crosses lifted up in big long rows of struggling, agonizing, groaning, screaming malefactors that the Romans had made an example out of. And now he's saying, I must be lifted. Amen. How sayest thou that the Son must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Amen. I'd like to preach for a little while this morning. Lifted up. Praise God. In the first place, to be lifted up means to be lifted up on a cross. Some few weeks ago, they found a mass grave over there. And among those that were buried in mass, they found a skeleton with a 10-inch spike nail still in its foot, the bone of its foot. Amen. Even though it was calculated to have happened, they'd probably all been crucified and calculated to have happened possibly 75 A.D., it was the first concrete evidence that they had ever found of men being nailed to a cross. Oh, they knew about it. They knew Romans did it. Amen. But now they've got a skeleton with a nail through its foot. Amen. It was Roman torture, folks. Amen. You see, being nailed to a cross didn't kill you. It was a painful thing. But the exhaustion after hanging there, sometimes as high as 3 days. Amen. The malefactor, or the supposed enemy of the state, the thief, or the crook, or, amen, the general or the soldier, would be made an example of. And he would agonize and writhe and die a horrible death from exhaustion, dehydration, starvation, with nails in his feet and in his hands. Jesus said, I must be lifted up. Amen. Did you know that Jesus Christ bore that shame? To be crucified was to die a shameful, naked, tortured death. To be made an example of before all your neighbors, lest you too rise up against the Roman Empire. Amen. Now the Jews, for the most part, were against crucifixion. But in this case, this day, they voted, crucify him. In the arch betrayal of all time, they voted with one voice, crucify him. Crucify him. Ah, this crucifixion was different. Because this day, when this crucifixion happened, the sky turned black. Amen. The earth quaked. There was some sort of an eclipse. Amen. I read in one account that they saw it clear across the Mediterranean. They viewed it all across the Roman Empire. Amen. And wise men in other parts of the world said, a god must have died. Amen. It turned dark as sackcloth of hair that day. Amen. And the veil of the temple that veiled the Holy of Holies that kept men out. And the priest could only go in once a year with the lightning, the thunder, the rain, and the earth quaking, and the heavens seem like veiling their face against the death of their very Creator. The Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain. It would have took a team of six oxen to pull that veil apart. It was so strong. Amen. But with one mighty swipe, one lightning sweep of an angel's hand, amen, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and the veil fell back to reveal the ark of the covenant, the holy of holies, amen, or at least what was left of it, amen, laid bare and open. And this morning, it's wide open for you and I. Why? Because he has been lifted up. Praise God. Two rich men named Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, this very man that he was preaching to in the third chapter of John, praise God, begged the body of Jesus. Someone said the place they chose to build the temple was a place where two brothers farmed and thrashed their grain. One was married and one was unmarried. Amen. In the night at the harvest time, the unmarried brother said, "My brother's family's big and he needs more, and so I think I'll put my half over on his side." Amen. That night, the married brother dreamed, amen, and wakened, and he said, "My brother is young, and his life is before him, and he needs a chance in life. I think I'll put mine on his side." And someone said Solomon chose to build a temple on the spot where those two brothers bumped into each other, each moving his grain over to the other's side. That act of love, praise God, traditionally was the spot where Solomon built the temple, praise God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Could it be, glory to God, that God and man met at that same spot, hallelujah, there on that same hill called Moriah? Glory to God, God chose to offer the sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice for sin. Amen. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, two rich men, begged the body of Jesus. Praise God. And in the night, I think maybe, or in the afternoon, I think maybe they met on the way to the cross, each carrying his bundle, praise God, to embalm the body of Jesus as best they could. They couldn't help it. They were palms of prophecy, just like you and I are. Amen. The Bible said in the Old Testament, he made his grave with the rich. Glory to God. It had to happen, Oscar Oakley. Praise God. And today we're in a relentless march. Praise God. I'll tell you what, if God's speaking to your life, if God's talking to your life, we're on a relentless march. You're taking one step right after another into eternity. Amen. They laid him in the grave with 75 pounds of spices rolled into that long linen cloth. Amen. Worth a fortune. Praise God. As Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus did their best to bury the Son of God and put him in Joseph's own new tomb and roll the stone upon the door. And just in case anybody might have ideas about robbing that grave, they set a guard over it. Amen. And put a Roman seal on it. Praise God. I mean, they melted wax and poured it on the crack, amen, where the stone met stone, amen, and stamped it with a Roman seal, and nobody dare break that seal and rob that grave. Amen.
Glory to God. Ah, but he would be lifted up from the grave. Amen. The next morning, two angels would violate Roman law and pay no attention to the crowd gathering. Glory to God. And roll that stone away with a mighty sweep of the hand. Glory to God. And said, see, he's not here. Hallelujah. There was his grave clothes and his napkin all wrapped up and folded neatly in place. And Jesus was already out of the tomb. I tell folks, he went through the back door. He went out the back end, brother. Praise God. He didn't have to go through the front. Praise God. He walked right out of the back end of the tomb where there wasn't any door. And up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph on his foes. Praise God. Yes, he was not only lifted up on the cross, he was lifted up from the grave. Hallelujah. And because of it, you don't need to be afraid of the grave. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Amen. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? It's all swallowed up in victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only was he lifted up from the earth on the cross and laid in Joseph's own new tomb, he was lifted up from the grave, amen, and he was also lifted up from hell. Borrowing modern terms and a play on modern words, praise God, the prophet said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Hallelujah. Jesus went down to that upper part of Sheol, the upper part of Hades, where you're speaking Hebrew or Greek. They called it Abraham's bosom. Amen. Jesus called it paradise. Amen. Yes, Luke 16 call it Abraham's bosom. Amen. Hallelujah. Paradise was Abraham's bosom. It was where Lazarus was comforted, but they were still in prison. The devil had the advantage, and so he was holding them there. They were hostages, if you please. We needed somebody to go down and deliver the hostages. Abraham's held hostage by sin and death. Amen. Oh yes, there's a whole lot more of those hostages down there in Peru. Amen. In the Japanese embassy still there. There's a whole lot more than was held hostage in the airport in Africa that the Jews set free. Amen. A whole bunch more than was held hostages, amen, in Iran when the United States suffered its debacle in the desert in trying to set them free. Amen. The saints of the ages were held hostage by death and sin. Amen. All they had going for them was the blood of bulls and goats. Hallelujah. Yes, all they had going for them, praise God, was the blood of doves and pigeons and the law of Moses. And when they got down there, they found Moses was there. Amen. Woo! All they had going for them, amen, was David's God. And when they got down there, David of all people was there. Praise God. Oh yes, all they had going for them was that they were the children of Abraham. But when they got down in the regions of death, Abraham was locked up too. Everybody was held hostage. Whew. Glory to God. Amen. But one day, glory to God, the master of the sea, the sea walker, the blind man healer, glory to God, he who stepped out on nothing in the eons of time and left his footprints on the universe and set the earth to turning by his stride, hallelujah, he walks to the gates of the Hadean world and said, give me the keys, amen. And if the keeper faltered, he said, never mind. And with a mind mighty lurch, he yanked the door from its hinges and stepped into the darkness. Praise God, setting cascading light across the Hadean world, and shouts to the top of his voice, "Come out, ye prisoners of hope, come out. I've come to set you free. You're no longer hostage." Raise your hands and praise it this morning. Praise God. What a day that was. Amen. Not only was he lifted up from hell, he took everybody else out of that part that obeyed God, that lived by faith. Praise God. He lifted them up with him. Amen. He took with him a string of vanquished foes. That's one paraphrasal of he took captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He took captivity captive. He was not only lifted up from hell himself. He had never sinned. But he took everybody else out that had faith in God. Amen. He was lifted up from corruption. You see, the rest of that prophecy says, "I will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Praise God. Before the fourth day, 3 days in the grave, and they say the fourth day, corruption sets in. After 3 days and nights, glory to God, up from the grave he arose. Amen. He didn't see corruption. David did. Abraham did. The prophets did. The saints did. But he didn't. But when he got done with them, they were right by his side. Hallelujah. He will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. I'll tell you, there's victory over death. To you that have lost recently, to you that have bid farewell to somebody recently, praise God, we have victory over death. You know, the New Testament don't even say they died. It says, amen, they fell asleep. Praise God. Ooh, glory to God. Jesus changed death from a terrible, awful loss, amen, till he made it like a Sunday afternoon nap. Praise God. Woo! Glory. A lot of times I lay down tired on a Sunday afternoon, sleep's so hard. I'm like Vince Wilson when I put him down in the evangelist quarters in Barberville, Kentucky, reading something I wanted him to read. He went to sleep. I saw him stagger out between the church and the evangelist or the parsonage. Amen. Later that afternoon, he said, "Bless God." He said, "I went to sleep down there. And I woke up, I didn't know where I was at." Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Sometimes I sleep so sound on a Sunday afternoon and a whole lot of other afternoons. Amen. And I don't even know where I'm at when I wake up. What time of day it is? Is it Sunday or Monday? Amen. Some of these days we're going to lay down and take a nap. Amen. They're going to bid farewell to us here in front of the pulpit. When we wake up, we'll wake up in glory and say, "Well, praise God. That's what we've been preaching about. That's what we've been talking about. Robes of righteousness, crowns of glory, a city called heaven. Thank God." Yes. Lifted up from corruption. Praise God. And then lastly, Acts chapter 1. And he said, "It is not for you to know, 7, the times and seasons which God hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Amen. Lifted up. into the clouds. Whew, glory to God. Things are going to get so bad over there in Israel before long that that handful of Jews over there that have rebuilt that land are going to look for a way of escape. And the only place they'll find to go is to the mountains of the south in Moab. Amen. In the rocks of Petra, the hills of Edom, they'll find an escape. Amen. From the Antichrist. Things may get so bad before the church leaves here that the church is going to look for a way of escape. Years ago as a child, I dreamed more than once that a bear was after me, or a ravenous wolf was after me. Amen. One time I dreamed a bear was after me, was living with Grandpa. Amen. And I woke up finally, and thank God I said I woke up, but I could still hear that bear. And when I finally got awake a little more, it was Grandpa snoring. Amen. Praise God. Many a time I've been asleep. Amen. And some bear, ravenous beast was right at my heels. And all of a sudden, in my dream, I began to fly like a bird and flew away. Amen. Some of these days, folks, the devil's going to feel like, or you may think the devil just about got you. Amen. But we're going to take the wings of the morning of rapture. And the same one that was lifted up, praise God, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while he looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He's coming back again. And you know why he's coming back? He's coming back to lift us up. I said he's coming back to lift us up. You don't want to go? You just like to stay here? Amen. See the degradation of the land? See our young people go down? See another generation fed like cannon fodder to hell? Amen. Great God, it may get so bad that you'll be crying, "Even so, come Lord Jesus," with the beloved Apostle John. But as the hounds dog the heels of the church this morning, more people have died for the faith in the last 50 years, martyrs, than all the martyrs put together up to that time. Amen. Because we're blessed in America, we can thank God that it hasn't happened on these shores. But it's happening. It's happening in Rwanda. It was so bad in Rwanda, amen, that Time magazine said there are no more devils in hell. They're all in Rwanda. Amen. Franklin Graham, when the UN wouldn't let him in, amen, he just went around the UN and went in the back door. He didn't know what difficulties he might face, but he found that there were no difficulties. He said, "Can I go in?" "Sure." "Can I preach to them?" "Sure." He looked upon the most deplorable sight that a human can look upon. Starving human misery and suffering. Bloated corpses by the score. People living as refugees with nothing to eat. Amen. Everything in the world gone and no hope for the future. Amen. In the midst of it all, he came upon a little girl separated from her parents, is probably dead, and the rest of her family. And she was clutching a cross and seesawing back and forth and saying something in French. Amen. And they said, what is she saying? That little girl, that starving little child, as she went back and forth and sang the same thing, singing the same song over and over and over again. He asked one of the soldiers what she's saying because they couldn't understand her. And he said, she's talking in French. What is she saying? And he said, she's saying, Jesus loves me. This I know for. He said, I can't understand the rest of it. They said, for the Bible tells me so. I said, yes, that's what she's saying. Over and over and over again. A tiny little starving urchin of a girl who had found Jesus, light and hope in the darkness and the misery, death and suffering of Rwanda. She was singing what she learned in a missionary school. Jesus loves me. I may not have any mother left and no daddy left, but Jesus loves me. I may not have any family left, but Jesus loves me. I may not have any food to eat and no clothes to wear, but Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Stand to your feet and rejoice in Jesus, who's coming back again to take us with him. In the clouds with him, when the hounds of hell dog our heels, Jesus says, arise, my love, my dove, and my fair one, come away. Amen. Come, my children, into thy chambers, and close thy doors about thee until mine indignation be overpast. Praise God. Jesus loves you. Come on, Father, bless our broken remarks. Help my friends to call on Jesus and be blessed this morning. I pray, amen, in Jesus' name. The altar's open and it's yours. Come and let Jesus take your heavy load. Let him lift you up out of the quagmire that you're in. Let him lift you up out of the doldrums, out of the blues, out of the darkness, the sadness, a disappointing past and an uncertain future. He'll lift you up out of it. Come on. Jesus loves you too. Say,
on the cross as he hung there, in shame was forsaken, as they drove the nails in his hands and his feet. As death closed his eyes, his cries went to heaven.
Come,
oh, come. I heard him repeat,
come.
One morning past daybreak, as the crowd slowly gathered, like a sheep he was humble to his father's own will. So sad was his face.
Come on, make that walk.
The Lord touched their sinking.
Make that walk. Take the step of faith. That'll change it all for you.
Up Calvary.
Take the step of faith. That'll change it all for you.
He was laid. But
your sins can only be in the
tomb.
A brand new tomorrow can be yours.
This world
because you found him today. Come back, back, son.
On the cross he fulfilled the plan of salvation. Oh, I want to thank Jesus for his coming.